Tiger Nation. I am Byron Hulsey, headmaster at Woodbury Forest School, and I would like to welcome you to the Woodbury podcast series. This podcast consists of informal yet substantive conversations with alumni, faculty, staff, and students. The conversations explore how Woodbury's core values empowered alumni to build a solid foundation for their lives, how those core values are taught today by Woodbury teachers, and how those values are put into practice by today's students. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Woodbury Podcast. It's great to have our guest, Will Brawley, with us. Will is a Woodbury alumnus. He lives in Charlotte. I've known Will for a long time. It's exciting to have a chance to visit with Will. Will, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I know they can't see, but as you can see, I do have on my Mowbray shirt, which I will have always had and will always have at least one of those.
Oh, good for you, man. I've got, as you would imagine, I've got several myself.
Yeah.
I am awash in Woodbury gear, which is good. Will, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about being a kid, how you found Woodbury, what your experience coming to the school was like. What about you being a kid? Where are you from? Tell us about you.
Byron, I've been in Charlotte my whole life, so there's obviously a big Woodbury influence here. Did not have any family or any knowledge about Woodbury until, you know, I became good friends with Bates Granger, lived around the corner from me growing up. Ike and Dee Dee spoke so fondly of Woodbury. You know, I was an only child. I think my mom and dad were, you know, I was kind of a handful. So they started hearing about this sports camp thing. It was 4 weeks in the summer and I loved sports and I was real active and kind of hyper. And they're like, why don't we try this sports camp thing for a month? So I, you know, learned about it through them. And I went to Woodbury sports camp and Mr. and Mrs. Karn, you know, were running it then. And I was a 10-year-old. And I had been to Camp Thunderbird, you know, for like a week for a couple of summers, but nothing for a month. And it was all this, you know, all these boys and it was intimidating. And I was like terribly homesick. I mean, just terribly homesick my first year as a 10-year-old. And I've actually got the letters that were going back and forth between my mom and Mrs. Karn. And my mom's all worried. And she even said, Mrs. Karn would call and say, just don't worry, honey, he's going to be just fine. And, you know, and sure enough, wound up going to sports camp for 4 years, 3 years with Chuck Harris as my counselor. And then that was his last year. And I was so blessed to have you as my counselor my final year. And so I got these incredible counselors, you and Stead Burwell. And I had all these great folks to look up to. I was being an only child and, you know, my family going through some financial struggles around then. I really looked up to the counselors at Woodbury Forest Sports Camp. I thought so highly of you and your peers. And I thought, gosh, those are the kind of guys I want to be like one day. You know, my parents didn't intend to send me anywhere, but I was like, I really want to go to Woodbury. And they're like, well, we can't afford that. You know, y'all, the school encouraged us to apply. And I was so thankful to get in. And my goodness, was there for 4 years and was on a massive amount of financial aid. I'm ever grateful to the entire Woodbury community. And there's plenty of people out there that gave money to the school, which in turn enabled me to be there. And so I will be dedicated to the school the rest of my life because it was such a meaningful experience for me. And, you know, kind of wrapped it up with 3 years as a counselor at sports camp. You know, had a lot of great years there. I literally went from my last year at sports camp directly to my third form year. So a long run there. So incredibly grateful for that experience.
Well, I remember I was a sports camp counselor in the summer of 86. That was the year I graduated. I could not do it in the summer of 87. I had a conflict and I was very interested in doing it in the summer of 88. And the Karns were trying to encourage me to come back. And I think almost as a joke, but I was making a point too. I said something like, well, Mr. and Mrs. Karn, I'll come back if you can guarantee me Will Brawley.
Oh, no way. Seriously?
I remember highlighting you as like the guy that I would want to like build a little group around if I were to come back as a, you know, as a head coach. And we were on the Colts and we had a good run. I remember we won softball and floor hockey and
Yep.
Did pretty well in other sports too. Sports camp's a magical place. It's so magical that sometimes when kids get to Woodbury, who've been at sports camp, they feel like they're going to have like a full year long sports camp experience. It's a little different than that. How did you make the transition to Woodbury, the school, as opposed to Woodbury, the sports camp?
Yeah, that was kind of what was in my head too. So it was definitely a transition. But one I was really grateful for. And again, we had a lot of stuff going on at home, and it was like the perfect thing for me to be removed from that and just have people that, I don't know that you've used the term, the boys are known and challenged and loved. And that's certainly, I mean, it is absolutely what I felt. And the challenged part was the part where you're like, oh, okay, this isn't just hanging out with guys and playing sports. This is hard. So I was always challenged academically but very grateful for all the wonderful teachers that cared so much and made sure that I didn't get left behind in any of the subjects that were hard and pushed me and got the best out of me. I mean, I was a good student. I wasn't a great student, but I know that I gave my best because that was what was expected and coaxed out of me, and it was awesome.
Who were your finest teachers?
Every teacher I had there, I learned so much from. I'll say that the one that I've really continued to, well, two that I've continued to keep a strong relationship to this day, Mr. Reimers and Mr. Huber. Mr. Reimers was the first person who helped me recognize the value of great writing and great storytelling. When I came to Woodbury, I had, what you would call ADD. Now, I could not stand reading books. Like, I never wanted to read books. I didn't want to do my summer reading. I did not care about fiction. And when he taught The Great Gatsby, something popped for me. When he sat me down and showed me how my writing needed coherence. And I'll never forget sitting in there one day and some of the things he showed me and told me that I didn't fully appreciate it then, but as I got a little older, I started realizing how much I'd gotten out of that. And he knows this. And to this day, I read The Great Gatsby every summer.
Oh,
I
wow,
pick it
cool.
up at the beginning of June. I read it every summer. We talk every summer. He calls me, or now he emails and says, are you in yet? Have you picked it up yet? But I do that to just as a nod to him, and because I love reading now, love reading, love storytelling, love all that, and it really goes back to what I got from him. And then Mr. Huber, just one of the more unique people I've ever come across, and what a kind, wonderful person who I'm very grateful to continue that relationship with him as well.
Two great Woodbury Titans. I remember Emmett Wright telling me that we were talking about John Reimers, and Emmett said to me that John's the kind of friend that when you call him and you need him, he's going to say, "Where are you?" He's not going to ask what's going on. He's going to say, "Where are you?" I've really appreciated that definition of friendship. I'm sure that I fall short myself as a friend to others, but that standard is a good one, not what's going on or what happened, it's where are you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I was terrified of him as a sports camp
Oh,
because
of course.
he would yell at us for being on the grass and all that. So I was so intimidated. And I realized under that like tough exterior is this just incredible heart.
One of my favorite John Reimer stories is from Lee Hatcher, who graduated in 85. So he's 1 year older than I am. He was telling me this several years ago. John was walking through the dorms. And he walked into Lee's room, and Lee had a dip of tobacco in. And John sat down in the other chair and just started talking to him. And Lee was trying to hold it together, but John wouldn't leave. And the spit's just building up in Lee's mouth, all that tobacco. And he's trying to like have this conversation with John. John's just very patiently sitting there talking to him about whatever it is that they were talking about. Finally, Lee couldn't handle it anymore, and he swallowed his dip of tobacco down. And once he swallowed that, John stood up and said, "Have a good evening, Mr. Hatcher," and left. And Lee said that impacted me so much more than like demerits would have or anything else. It's just a real knack for connecting with boys that John and Paul in different ways had.
Absolutely. And so many, Ted Blaine, I mean, just the list goes on. It really does. It's a very special type, I think, that wants to be there. And Woodbury has been so blessed to have so many people there that just so genuinely care about the boys and do make them feel known and challenged and loved. No doubt about it.
Tell us about life after Woodbury.
I liked the small school environment, so I went to Davidson. Got to double down on the honor code, which was great because it has been such a wonderful foundation and something I hold very dearly. Really enjoyed time there. Had a, gosh, probably four or five guys from my class all went in 96, excuse me, in 92, graduated in 96. Got out into what a lot of folks that go through that school and many of the schools where Woodbury boys go, back then it was sort of like you're either going to go to medical school or law school or finance. And I went to Nations Bank and I realized I always knew I had some entrepreneurial spirit in me. And I didn't last very long at the bank. I was there about 3 years, but I knew I needed to kind of try something different and help start a business in 2000 called First Research. And we were lucky to have a be acquired in 2007 by Dun & Bradstreet, and then got involved with Schedulefly, which is what I'm doing now, which is a restaurant employee scheduling software. I've been doing it for 18 years and love every minute of it. Have been fortunate to be married to my bride for Lauren for 25 years now as of last May. And
Quarter century, well done.
yeah, man. And three kids. My daughter Bella's at Penn State. My son William is a freshman now at East Carolina. And then we got our last little man, Brooks, is a sophomore here at Charlotte Latin now. And kind of holding on to every minute with him because we sure do love our kids and love being parents and just enjoy every second of it because it goes fast.
You're a frequent visitor at Woodbury, which we love. Love seeing Woodbury alumni come back on campus. Why do you come back as much as you do?
Home away from home, man. I mean, Byron, it is, gosh, the other thing I didn't even mention is that between my two boys, I think I had like 7 years in a row of father-son camp and just love that. Could not recommend that enough. It was just an incredible experience. I mean, both my boys were really sad when it was their last year. We didn't send them to sports camp. I always thought they'd go to sports camp and go to Woodbury. They are homebodies. They just didn't want to go. That, it just is what it is. But Woodbury means so much to me, and I always felt like it's home, right? Like I feel like I can always go back there, and I'm welcomed. I'm always just so comfortable being there. It's always great to see faces and people that I've seen before and meet new folks. And what I love so much about being there is it's like, it's the balance of the school is just bedrock, and there's so many things that haven't changed that you just love. And but then this you've adapted with the times, and heck, there's air conditioning, I think, in every dorm now and stuff, which is great. But I've always felt like Woodbury is a second home. I really do, and I think that's a special thing. And I think there's probably very, very few schools that where any alum can come back anytime and feel like they're back home.
What does it feel like as a Woodbury alumnus who's a great dad, loves his sons, but his sons don't want to come to Woodbury? That's of course that happens quite a bit.
It's a big emotional challenge. I thought without question that I was like, well, we have two boys. We're gonna have two Woodbury boys. Peeling that back, first of all, my wife was not interested in our boys going anywhere. I mean, she's very grateful for my experience at Woodbury, and she's been there before, all that stuff, loves it there. But she wanted those boys home. So that was already a bit of a challenge. Now I was like, well,
That's a big challenge, by the way. That's not a bit of a challenge. That's a big one.
it's a big one. And I think my mistake was not really pressing to have them come visit, because I think if they came and visited it, and particularly for her to have, that type of experience probably have helped. But I mean, I have to say maybe a little bit was slight. I didn't push too hard. They were at Charlotte Latin. We lived close there, and probably selfishly didn't push too hard because I loved having them here so much. I loved being able to go see their practices and be there and pick up carpool and all that. And, it worked out well in our situation. But I have to say, it truly surprised me that, neither one of them went there. And I know, and sometimes it just depends on the boys too. I mean, Charles Barris had his oldest son go there, his middle son didn't. I'm not sure what, what Whit'll do. And then, you have guys like Bates Granger in my class, who's, like how many, I mean, what was he, like fifth generation, and his son staying there. So it is, I guess it just depends so much on, there's so many dynamics. But I was a little heartbroken, Byron. I really was. Maybe that's why I'm back so much, because I really wanted to be back with my boys there. So I try to, at least be there for to support the school when I, in any way that I can.
It's an interesting dynamic. My son Ben went to Woodbury. It was a little different deal because we were
Have to
here,
say,
obviously. If I hadn't been working at Woodbury, I doubt that he would have come. In all honesty, I just don't think I would have pushed it. One of the things I've long believed or been interested in is the statement that Carl Jung offered one time. He said, "A child's greatest burden is the unlived life of its parents." And so I've tried in my own limited, I'm sure, fallen way to like not inflict my unlived life on Ben or Claire too much. My heart goes out to Woodbury dads whose sons don't come when that generates a lot of emotional reaction. Not all negative, by the way, because like you said, you had an experience with your sons at home in Charlotte that's important to you and Lauren. I get that. Makes total sense to me. Well, maybe, sometimes we see it skip a generation. I've visited with a lot of Woodbury dads whose fathers went to Woodbury, but they didn't, and now their sons are here. So you never know.
I'm going to be involved with Woodbury in one way or the other, till my last day. So if I'm fortunate enough to have some grandsons one day, and I'll be nudging
Well,
hard.
we'll be here to welcome you. Well, I know that a couple of years ago you came back and we asked you to speak to our graduating seniors. What was your message like? What are the sorts of things that you advise young men to consider, to think about, to keep in mind as they navigate the uncertainties of life ahead?
We talked about mental health. We talked about the importance of mental health because I've seen and experienced needing to focus on mental health and how important that is for young men. I know guys, I mean, I'm 51 now. I know guys who's have had their sons, take their own lives. We've had, I know other people that have just a lot of issues with young men. So I talked to them about sort of my mental health journey and what I've learned and what I do and why I place so much emphasis on that. I mean, you have a lot of, particularly at Woodbury, you've got a lot of driven young men who are going to go out and work really, really hard and have high expectations of themselves and may have, others may have high expectations of them. And it's never been more challenging in today's world, particularly with all the social media and all that we're surrounded with. It just makes it hard to find that good balance of making sure that you're taking care of your mental health. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we actually talk about it now and guide these boys to have, to be able to raise their hands and have resources and do the things they need to do to take care of themselves, not just physically, but mentally, and find that good balance in life. So we talked a lot about that, and I hope it went well. It was a very intimidating thing because it's not something I'd ever really spoken to a group about, but I wanted to place the value on the opportunity and give them that, because I do think that's a very important topic for young men.
Couldn't agree more. What are some of your own practices to stay healthy?
First of all, it's actually interesting. I'm going to go back to sports camp because one of the things I think about is something that Chuck Harris taught us. And it's just, and we would do it, this was our cheer, was 89. And nobody really knew what 89 meant unless you were on Chuck's team. But he said, "I'm not going to ask you to give 100% all the time." And he told this story about how Dr. J, Julius Erving, had said, "I give 89%. You're going to have to take some plays off, or you're not going to sprint full speed down the court." He goes, "I know when that 11% when I need it." He goes, "But if I give 89% and my teammates all give 89%, then we're going to be great. And I loved that so much. And we would always
That's
cheer.
so honest.
It really is. And it just gets you, it gives you, because when everybody's kind of going, all right, 89, then we're all on the same page about this. We know like we're all going to work really hard for each other, but we all need like some time to take a minute. So I've really kind of built that into how I try to manage my life in my days. And it doesn't always go. There are days when you grind through stuff. But I think when you really kind of give yourself the opportunity to go, 89 is like, that's really good. You know, if you need time to take care of yourself. And one of the things that, you know, I talked to these boys about that I learned, I mean, truly had to learn through trial and error is when you take that time and you take care of yourself and you give yourself what you need, you're actually better for the people around you, all the people that you're trying to take care of. I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, I'm a better colleague, I'm a better friend when I take the time that I need to do the things that I enjoy. Or for me, like a lot of it comes through fitness. Like I get, you know, a lot of clarity and joy through taking good care of my body, eating well. That's such an important part. The gut-brain connection is so important. So, you know, having respect for my body and taking care of what I'm putting in my body and what I'm doing with it just results in a lot of mental clarity. And then just taking that time. And I have to have this conversation with myself all the time, Byron. I mean, I think all of us that are really driven do, but just reminding myself, take some time to just relax and reset and recharge. It really does matter and does make you better for the people you care about.
I've never heard that quote from Dr. J, but it very much resonates. In fact, the prefects know that I share with them in Colorado, B plus day is a really good day.
There you go.
You know, you stack a bunch of B pluses one on top of the other, it's going to be a good week, good month, good trimester, good year, frankly, a good life. You know, at a certain level, an A is just not impossible. It's not possible, at least not to deliver on a daily basis. You may get lucky and the everything kind of falls into place and it's an A day, but at least in my role, there's usually one or two things that doesn't go quite right. So the quicker you can suck that down and move on, the healthier, at least I'm going to be, I feel like. And I feel like that's a very important thing for me to pass on to the prefects, because in their lives, they've, in many cases, are type A personalities who've always aspired to be great at everything they do. And then they get to be a prefect and they realize, well, there's going to be some stuff that's just murky and mucky,
Yeah.
difficult, and it's not going to get resolved well within a given day, maybe ever. You know, either that's going to drag you down and punish you, or you're going to figure out a way to put your head down and go to sleep and move on.
It's a wonderful message. It's an important message. It's more important than ever. And I there you go. 89's a B plus. Like that's very grateful that you're
Well, I didn't never hear the Dr. J quote, but I've made it my own, in my, I guess, my own little way with these prefects. Well, I remember we had a conversation with some incoming prefects in the August of 2019. I don't know how this came up, but it came out of nowhere, where Nolan Lavoie, who was the dean of students at the time, he asked the boys, "Have you ever felt like you're not enough?" And the number of hands that shot up so quickly and so forcefully was like a gut check
Suck that
for us
in
who bear
maybe a little
responsibility
bit
for
with
them, because
slight.
if
I
those
didn't
guys
push
don't
too
feel
hard.
like
They were
they're
at Charlotte
enough,
Latin. We lived
that's an
close there.
issue that
And
we have to
honestly,
confront head
head
on.
on.
And, you
Yeah.
know, I mean, I don't, we haven't talked about this personally, you and I, but, you know, for me personally, it's a matter of faith as well, and a matter of, you know, belief that I have in God and the grace of God and Christ and the like. But man, that's hard these days. So that's a great message to give to those boys about an 89. I hope and trust they heard you. And even if they don't always act like they hear you in the moment, you've planted a seed. So thank you for doing that.
You bet. And we did talk about faith as well. That's been a big, probably the biggest part of that journey for me is leaning into my faith, especially in the hard times, right? I gave my life to Christ and I try to, you know, he is my example, and try to walk with him every day and in that direction and closer to him. And so much of the foundation of Woodbury and the ethical values and moral values and everything are built around that message. So that is personally a very important part of my life.
If you had the opportunity to visit with, say, a parent in your hometown of Charlotte who's wrestling with the idea of Woodbury for his son, given your experience as an alum, a sports camper, an alumnus, and as a dad whose sons did not go to Woodbury, what would you tell him or her, mom or dad, on, down the road, or, in your community?
Well, I always say kind of jokingly, I'm like, look, you're taking away the worst risk factors for a teenage boy.
Yeah.
You're removing cars, girls, drugs, alcohol. Like, if
Yeah.
you want to look at it that way, like, risk mitigation strategy, like that's one thing I say jokingly sometimes, but I always just say, look, I will assure you that your son, if your son has any interest in going, will thank you profusely one day, as I continue to thank my parents. And frankly, again, thank you the alums who gave to AmSci, who enabled me to be there. You will be blown away with how much your son matures and becomes a young man that you are so proud of. And 99.99% of boys who go through there become young men that their parents are proud of, that serve their communities, that operate with integrity and humility and honor, and they will have a lifelong attachment to that school. The percentage of alums that give back to AmSci
Yeah.
is outstanding, and that alone says so much about that school and the love and the loyalty. And I want to call out my class, 92.
Great.
We were a fairly fractured class at Woodbury. We literally gelled the last week in this weird way that was better than we ever had. And it was so awesome to see. But 10, 15 years ago, we were probably at like 40 something percent in giving. We're now at 75%. So our class is like, and we've kind of harkened back to that. And so we're as connected now and dialed in and grateful for this school as ever. And I just tip my hat to those guys that 75% of people that have graduated from a high school class given back is pretty outstanding. So I always like to point that out as well. But I think that's a big thing for the school that many people, give.
Yeah, that's
It's
huge.
a rare thing. I actually host the Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast. I'm proud to say it's a top five restaurant owner podcast, but that's mainly because I started it in 2010 when nobody knew what a podcast was and I had to beg them to come on. But the only reason I bring that up is specifically to call out an episode that was just featured in the Woodbury newsletter, which is an episode that I was lucky to have an opportunity to do with Sam Hart, a Woodbury alum.
Yep.
And just yesterday, Sam and the team at Counter Restaurant in Charlotte won a Michelin star, which if y'all listening know what that's a massive,
Major, major
massive
accomplishment.
accomplishment. There are only 130 restaurants in the world that have won Michelin stars. It's a huge deal. So look at the most recent Woodbury newsletter email. There's a link to it in there, I believe, and check that out. And then the last thing I would say is, I literally have in my inbox a contract to look through for some work from Daniel Ukoloff, who
Oh,
graduated,
yeah,
Daniel,
I do.
about 5 years ago. I was fortunate to get to know him. He came to us with an idea for our company. One of the great things is I told my business partner, we'll look through the contract and everything, but like Dan, we know we can trust Daniel. He went to Woodbury, and that's
Yeah.
great thing to be able to say that I trust him implicitly because he is a Woodbury grad. And when I always tell people, and this is also what I say to, I would say to families that may be sending somebody there, is if somebody is aware of Woodbury and the reputation it has, if somebody comes to me, from Woodbury and I don't know anything about them, if there's 10 boxes I need to check to like maybe hire that person or to build a relationship with that person, they check nine just because they went to Woodbury, right? Just all the things that you want to know about somebody. It's like, well, if they're Woodbury, that takes care of all that. And I think that's so meaningful.
means a lot. It's a great thing to have, and certainly something we don't take lightly and want to continue to steward and preserve. Will, it's game week at Woodbury. Do you have any friends from the high school?
Oh no,
And not a single one? Come on,
I
man.
couldn't call them friends, but no, I'm just kidding. I do know some. I do know, yes, certainly know some folks that some Maroons. What an amazing week for both those schools, and I have a lot of respect for Episcopal too. I know Harris Morrison has told me, his daughter's there, and they've had a wonderful experience there as well. Having said that, I'm so grateful that Woodbury continues to be all boys, and I hope it will always be all boys because it makes it a really special place.
Well, I hope it does. I hope Woodbury remains all boys too. And I know that if for whatever reason the board went in a different direction, they'd have to find a new head of school, because I'm not equipped to be head of a co-ed boarding school, that's for sure. And I feel the same way about Episcopal. I'm a big fan, and I was just visiting with Charlie Stilwell, the head of school, and it's always a privilege to be able to host the Maroon here in the Tiger Nation on the second Saturday in November. So we're looking forward to that. You mentioned Harris Morrison. Triggers me a little bit because Harris and I have a mutual friend who lives in Charlotte named Pete Petroff. Pete did not go to Woodbury. Pete went to McDonough outside of Baltimore. Pete and I got to know each other at UVA. He's a year older, younger than I, excuse me. He and Harris were talking not long ago, and Pete said that one of his clearest memories from high school was his senior year when Woodbury played McDonough in football. It was the fall of 86. McDonough won the game 25-15, and it was the only game Woodbury lost that year. And the next week, Pete's coach gathered the McDonough team in the locker room and read a handwritten letter from Red Corin, congratulating the coach and the McDonough team on a hard-fought win. And Pete said, "You could have heard a pin drop in that locker room." And that's exactly the kind of modeling that I got here as a boy, knowing Mr. and Mrs. Corin, knowing Mr. Wright, knowing Mr. Manning, Mr. Blaine, Coach Joe, all of them. And to hear like the ripple effect of like Red Corin on a boy from another school who didn't even go to Woodbury says a lot. And it's a high bar to live up to in our aspirations to go for an 89 every day. So I love
It is.
the 89, and I love Coach Karin, and I thought you'd like to hear that story since you basically started with sports camp and the legacy of Red and Kathy Karin.
Oh, wonderful people. I miss them so dearly. Have just Red Corin's on my personal Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Legendary. Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much, Will, for being on the Woodbury podcast. Grateful to all who are able to tune in. Go Tigers. Will, thanks again for being with us today. Have a good
Go
day.
Tigers. Yeah,
Go
thank you, Matt.
Tigers.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Woodbury Podcast. We hope you found our discussion insightful and engaging. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, rating, or leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Stay tuned for more conversations in the future. And remember, the conversation doesn't have to end here. Connect with us on Woodbury Forest School social media, reach out with your questions or comments, and let's keep the dialogue going. Until next time, take care and go Tigers!